And now, the only night shift sports radio host who's even larger than the abominable snowman, J. Yeti Binkley.
Oh my, quite the introduction, Julio. Quite the introduction on this snowy Friday night in Kansas City. Is this not football weather or what?
Loving it.
We had a snowy November. Big snow that day. December was nice. I mean, it was no complaints. I'm still rocking shorts even right now.
I was literally going to ask it. Why?
32
you knew
degree
it was
rule.
Snow.
32 degree rule.
Jay, when we leave, it's going to be below 32 degrees.
And you know what?
It already is.
And you know what? I brought pants.
You did?
I brought pants.
Are they the breakaway pants?
No. Well, you know what? I carry those in the truck.
Oh.
Just in case, man. Like, if you're in shorts, like Dad always told you, you know, your car breaks down, you got to have some pants, some breakaway sweats. Got them, but I got some jeans. I got some jeans, Julio. How are the roads? You just were out on them?
They are. It's not good, but it's not terrible either. It's getting there, though.
It's not good, and it's not terrible either. Kind of reminds you of a couple years ago, the Pittsburgh Steelers in the fake freezing rainstorm. Remember that?
I do.
Remember they had to move the game back?
It's true.
It was Arrowhead Stadium. It was January football. It was football in the playoffs, which you want. And, you know, went down to Hy-Vee, grabbed a beer, and Wachowski went with me. And we walked through the aisles because we were curious what people buy in snowstorms. What do they stock up on? Because I'll tell you this much, they go to the grocery store in droves. And here's the only thing that ever gets me. All the milk and bread. You do realize it's going to be like in the 40s next week. It's not like this snowmageddon is going to keep you from having milk and all the stuff that you need for like 2 days. You might have to rough it on oven pizza and some Pop-Tarts for 2 days. But you know what, damn it. Sometimes you just got to do life.
Sounds pretty nice to me. I'm down for that.
I'm good with that, too.
Yeah.
I'm good with that, too. Fun show tonight. Mm-mm-mm.
We actually get a beer segment in tonight.
Man, you know what? It's been a fun show. It's been an off couple of weeks. I mean, I've been doing the night show again this week, so I'm glad. But 2 weeks ago, I did Fesco in the morning for a week. Did it a couple days the next week, then filled in on the drive for 3 days. And so, unfortunately, the beer segment had to take a two-week hiatus.
You ditched me. That's what happened, Big.
It wasn't that. It's the only man that was in a fetal position was Jason Nivens, 989 The Rock. And he'll join us tonight at 7:30 as Double Shift Brewing makes an appearance from the crossroads for two guys in a brewery that makes its happy return tonight. So this show is all Chiefs, all Colts, all beer. Sounds pretty good for Friday evening, right? So settle in, check out the snow, grab your beer, order you a pizza. You might have to get it yourself because I don't know if they're going to deliver tonight. And sit back and enjoy the radio for a couple hours. The voice of the Indianapolis Colts, Matt Taylor, joins me next. Craig Stout, Arrowhead Pride, comes on around 6:30. And at 7 o'clock, we'll talk to Mike Wells. He's the ESPN reporter for the Indianapolis Colts. But starting off now is kind of, okay, who's playing and who's not playing for the Kansas City Chiefs? The things I'm hearing is it looks like Sammy Watkins will be a go, which is fine. I mean, what can we really expect from Sammy Watkins? Ware and Barry probably won't play, which Spencer Ware, it's a non-issue if Spencer Ware. Well, you know what? I shouldn't say that because if it is a snow game, you need every kind of running back depth you can get. Now, normally I wouldn't say you need any running backs when you have a quarterback like Pat Mahomes, but in this type of game, they might need Spencer Ware. Eric Berry is huge. I mean, he should be back now. I mean, if he doesn't play, your days of having Eric Berry, you can't count on anymore. I mean, he got a little bit excited when he came back on a snap count against the Chargers, played a little bit more, got up to about 69 snaps against the Seahawks. But these are the type of games you need Eric Berry. You need Eric Berry in these kind of playoff games, the smartness, especially going against a quarterback like Andrew Luck that is so smart in what he does and how he directs traffic. With the receivers, and to have a guy like Eric Berry back there in run support in the game where Marlon Mack, running back for the Colts, might be a guy you need to stop at certain times. This is why you paid Eric Berry the big money. And this injury just isn't going away, and it's a sad thing because Eric Berry is just not the same Eric Berry that we knew. And we've heard a lot of references between the 2006 Colts and this Chiefs team, even though this Chiefs team is much better than that. Well, I can't say that because that team won a championship, so can't say that yet. But this team was better defensively, even that Colts team. The Colts defense was terrible. As bad as this defense was, Their run defense, 173 yards a game they gave up. But they got Bob Sanders back, their safety, and things started to change for the Colts. They get to the postseason. They'd be giving up 173 rushing yards per game. They get there. They play the Chiefs. Larry Johnson, just 14 carries for 32 yards in that game against the Colts. And they caught fire. And the run defense played extremely well all the way to the Super Bowl until they finally gave up over 100 yards rushing to the Bears. So having Barry coming back, would we be big for tomorrow's game? Because tomorrow's game suddenly takes on a different complexion as far as the great quarterback play that you're going to see. Colin Cowherd, who's been a guy that's downplayed Patrick Mahomes at times. He's been downright kind of a hater at times. Oh, how cute the no-look passes and all this. He actually went on the Chiefs' side. And his point here is the matchup between Mahomes and Luck. And I think this is an excellent point that Colin Cowherd makes. And he's back on the Chiefs bandwagon.
So let's go through all four games. What would be the most interesting outcome? Kansas City at Indianapolis. I believe the most interesting outcome is a shootout between the next Brady and Manning for the next 10 years. Patrick Mahomes and Andrew Luck are going to go toe-to-toe. And I want a shootout. And I want Kansas City winning. And I want the MVP winning. And I want Andy Reid winning. And I think it's 34-33. And this is Peyton Manning and Tom Brady early in their careers. Obviously, Mahomes younger than Andrew Luck. But I want Mahomes to be flashy and no-look passes and left-handed passes and be a contrast of styles. That Mahomes comes out, he is Brett Favre. He makes a real bonehead interception. He makes some mistakes. But he has two or three unbelievable all-time highlight plays. Meanwhile, Andrew Luck is 28 for 34. He is workmanlike, a contrast of styles. He is boring, and he is leading them down the field, and the clock runs out, and Kansas City wins a wild shootout, and we have a sense when the game is over, oh my God, we're going to see this a lot for the next decade. A Kansas City narrow win in a shootout gets everybody fired up, because we know the Chiefs are going to be around for a while. And we know the Colts with 9 draft picks on top of this and $100 million, they're going to be really good starting next year. But this one we give to Kansas City, and then they go back and forth.
It's a great point by him. The matchup, Mahomes and Andrew Luck. We didn't think Andrew Luck, when he came back this year, he was going to be the same Andrew Luck that he was. Who are going to be the teams? Who are going to be the Patriots and Steelers going forward? Because I think the Steelers, they're a mess. They're a complete mess. Ben Roethlisberger almost retired before this year. He had the whole Le'Veon Bell situation, the whole Antonio Brown. Is he happy or not? He's making videos with James Harrison. The Patriots will eventually come back to the pack, but Tom Brady's over 40 years old. Who is going to be the next generation? Next generation will be teams that are led by franchise quarterbacks. Andrew Luck is that guy. Andrew Luck started off his career on fire. Andrew Luck got to the postseason the first 2 years. That doesn't happen to quarterbacks taken early on like Andrew Luck. He led a comeback 38-10 against the Chiefs in the postseason. We weren't sure he was going to throw a forward pass. He made a pass and it went viral. People were making fun of Andrew Luck. People laugh at his Twitter account, Captain Andrew Luck. And now there's a Captain Patrick Mahomes Twitter account. They're wonderful. They asked their mother for possum oil to send to the troops to have a little fun. But is Patrick Mahomes and Andrew Luck, could this be something we see in the future? Could this be Manning Brady? And Andrew Luck is 29 years old. Andrew Luck had a fantastic season. But Andrew Luck is also a guy that plays different at home than he does on the road. And I've brought up Drew Brees several times and how Drew Brees has only thrown for 300 yards once away from the dome, and it was in Atlanta, a dome. That's kind of what he did. This is Andrew Luck at home this year. 70.7 completion percentage. On the road, Andrew Luck is 64.2%. He averages 7.9 yards per throw. At home, he averages 6.6 on the road. His quarterback rating is a whopping 109.7 at home. His quarterback rating on the road, 88.4. And yes, you might say, Jay, they went to Houston and beat the Texans on the road in the playoffs. You know, the Chiefs done that too. And not only that, the Texans is a much better team this year than when the Chiefs played them a couple years ago because it was Brian Hoyer who couldn't hold Deshaun Watson's jock. I get it. But it was a climate-controlled situation. He was like almost playing like he's indoors. Can you imagine Patrick Mahomes in a dome, what he would do? Andrew Luck has thrown twice as many interceptions, 10, than he has at home with five. These are all good things. They have an awesome offensive line. Had Evan Bayham on the show yesterday. Lee Summit West, who's on the offensive line. He fills in guard and center for the Colts. Braden Smith, second-round pick from Olathe South High School. He's a starter on this offensive line. The Colts and Chris Ballard. Chris Ballard could have been the GM of the Chiefs. Remember, the Chiefs held on the Dorsey. Chris Ballard ended up taking a job early with the Colts. It would have been him instead of Brett Veach, but he's done a fantastic job. Drafting Quentin Nelson at guard, sixth overall last year in the draft. Drafting Braden Smith in the second round. He's got two stalwarts, two guys that are going to be all pros on that offensive line protecting Andrew Luck. They went, and last year they gave more sacks than any team in the NFL. This year the fewest, 18. Chiefs are tied for the most sacks in the NFL with 52. But again, this game's all about Mahomes and Andrew Luck and what can they do. And to be honest with you, I think the snow might stop by then. It's a heated field. It may be a factor. It may not. Patrick Mahomes, a Texas kid. You know, how much snow has Patrick Mahomes, you know, seen in his life? Growing up, playing high school football in Texas, going to Texas Tech. Andrew Luck plays indoors in a dome. But it is interesting. And could it change the complexion of a game to where it's a hard-nosed, physical Damian Williams versus Marlon Mack type of game? Could end up being that. We'll give you our prediction as the show continues, as we like to do the predictions. The last segment of the show. I don't know how we did that 1 week, Julio, because it's been a couple weeks since we made our predictions.
I saved them.
Did you save them? How did we do?
I'll pull them up and we'll go over them.
Pull them up when we have Nivens. All right, good point. Coming up next, Matt Taylor. He's the play-by-play voice of the Indianapolis Colts. It'll give you an inside look at everything you need to know about the Chiefs' opponents. And we talk to Matt Taylor next. Joining us now, the voice of the Indianapolis Colts, play-by-play man, Matt Taylor. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, how we doing?
You excited about this game like we are? Because people in this town are a little bit nervous when they see that horseshoe.
Absolutely. I mean, for Colts fans, they've been excited for a long time now because this team started 1-5. I mean, kind of just giving you the big picture history of this season on the Colts. We had no idea how good this team was going to be because, you know, they had a first-year head coach. They had three first-time coordinators. Andrew Luck, a huge unknown man coming off an injury where he missed all of 2017. They started 1-5. They lost a ton of close games. They had a ton of injuries in the first couple months of the season. And then they started to get some healthy guys back. They started playing better. The schedule kind of lightened up a little bit. And here they are. They've won 10 of 11. They snuck into the playoffs, so to speak, becoming the third team ever to make the playoffs after starting 1-5. They won a game, just like Kansas City did a couple years ago. Yeah. They started 1-5, made the playoffs. And, I mean, they're the most dangerous team right now. They're playing probably the best. They had the longest winning streak going into the postseason. They won last week. They dominated it in basically every phase, the Houston Texans. Andrew Luck is playing better football than he's ever played, you know, pre-injury. They've got more weapons. They've got a bona fide offensive line. The defense is playing well. I mean, if I was a Kansas City Chiefs fan, I would be scared about this Colts team, too, because it's just playing with house money right now, and they're not scared of anybody or anything.
Do the Colts talk about the success, or the fans talk about the success against the Chiefs? You know, 4-0 against Kansas City. They have two wins at Arrowhead Stadium. That's all the Chiefs have is two wins at Arrowhead Stadium in the playoffs. But just the bizarre things that happen, you know, like blowing a 38-10 lead. The 2006 game where the Colts didn't have a run defense, gave up 173 yards a game, and the Chiefs came in there to run, and they couldn't run. Or the 03 game where nobody punted. The Colts didn't punt. The Chiefs didn't punt. Priest Holmes fumbled. Or 95 when Lynn Elliott missed three field goals for the Chiefs. Do they talk about these bizarre things that keep happening when these teams play?
Yeah, no, I mean, that those conversations are for guys like you. I mean, I think from the – you know, this Colts team is so young. I mean, they have 11 rookies. There's so many first and second year players that Chris Ballard has brought in. He completely, took a stick of dynamite to this roster a couple of years ago when he took over for Ryan Grigson. So, I mean, you talk about the last time these two teams played in 2013 when the Colts erased that 28-point deficit. I mean, there's only four guys on this Colts team now that were on that team. You know, Andrew Luck, Anthony Costanzo, T.Y. Hilton, and the kicker, Adam Vinatieri. So there's not many holdovers. Like I said, you know, these guys that are on the Colts that are so young, 22 and 23 year olds. They have no, I mean, 5 years ago in their world, they were still in high school. So if that game really has no bearing, nor do the other games in this series have any bearing on the outcome coming up on Saturday afternoon. I just think it's going to be awesome. I really do. I think it's going to be the marquee game of the weekend. I think it's going to be the most competitive game. I mean, you've got strength on strength, you know, a pretty good defense against an elite offense. You've got the Colts offense, which has been able to put up points this season. You've got a top five venue at Arrowhead Stadium, two-story franchises, like you talked about. I mean, the fan base is so desperate to erase so many bad memories, not only, you know, just with the Colts in the playoffs, but playoff blunders in general. I just think it's going to be so good, so Brock is so cranked up, and the Colts have nothing to lose at this point because their rebuild, so to speak, going into this season is ahead of schedule. Is ahead of schedule on so many different levels.
Talking to Matt Taylor, the voice of the Indianapolis Colts, you mentioned Chris Ballard. You know, he's thought of well here in Kansas City. He was going to be the guy that probably he was second in command to John Dorsey, and the current GM is kind of the third guy in line, but Ballard, of course, takes the jobs with the Colts. And I tell you, you got to respect what he's done. I mean, going out and building this lineup with Quentin Nelson and Braden Smith, who's really worked on his pass blocking. Braden Smith, you know, played right here in Kansas City, Olathe South High School. Evan Bame on the team played Lee Summer West, two Kansas City guys. But, man, I'm telling you, the first and second rounders for the Colts, you talk about hitting on an offensive line. This offensive line is considered one of the best in football, and there's two rookies.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you go back to last year, too. I mean, they've got impactful players from last year's draft, Malik Hooker and Quincy Wilson and Nate Harrison. I mean, this team is stocked right now with young talent. And, I mean, the good thing going forward, I just talked about it, they're ahead of schedule, and they're building it kind of the old-fashioned way, the old-school way. They're going to have at least two extra draft picks in 2019. They still have a pick, kind of a holdover with the Jets last spring. I think they're going to have a compensatory pick for losing Dante Moncrief in free agency last offseason. Plus, and this is a big hot-button issue around here, at least it was at the earlier portions of the season when the Colts were 1-5, there were a lot of people saying, hey, we told you so, Chris. You shouldn't have went out and spent more money in the offseason. Well, now Chris is getting kind of last laugh in that regard. He saved a ton of money. He brought in, you know, cap-friendly guys, guys that, you know, wanted to come in and prove it and show that they could be more than they were in previous stops in their career. But Chris has saved roughly $120 million in salary cap space. The Jets have about $104. Nobody else has more than $82 going into next offseason. So the 11 draft picks in 2018, all of them made the roster. The only one that didn't was Deion Kane. He was put on IR in the preseason. The Colts are really high on him, the receiver. The Colts led the NFL on opening day rookie starters in 2018 with five. So the future is bright. I think the Colts are here to stay, and they're always going to have a chance no matter who's in the lineup, who's on the roster, if you have a healthy quarterback like Andrew Luck, and that's the case with the Colts.
No question, no question. Talking to Matt Taylor, voice of the Indianapolis Colts, and Frank Reich, you talk about a guy that knows all about comebacks. Impressed with him and his career and what he's been able to do, and you know, the Josh McDaniels thing, I don't know how much that stung. We didn't like that. I mean, I didn't like that as a guy at the sports radio in Kansas City. I thought it was, you know, pretty shady to do that to the Colts. But, man, did you guys get the right guy?
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, yeah, I mean, around here, divine intervention, you know, destiny, I mean, all those things are kind of, you know, thrown around. And, you know, just from my standpoint, having been around Frank, getting to talk to Frank on a weekly basis, he's just been everything. He really has. He's just been a godsend. And I know Jim Irsay kind of jokes about it, although I know he's definitely serious when he says, how did we screw this up? How did we not go after Frank in the first place? He was right in front of us. He was right in front of our nose. How did we screw this up so badly? And it all worked out in the end. And Frank has been the steady force, the calming light. And he has, what's so impressive for me is he's been able to, you know, stay comfortable in his own skin. He's never changed. You know, in the 1-5 start, he didn't, you know, blow up the practice regimen. He didn't start doing anything different. And it sounds corny and cliche, but if the Colts wanted to make the playoffs after a 1-5 start, they just had to win every single week. They had to focus on winning that week. And that's kind of where this 1-0 approach started, this 1-0 mantra that the guys have taken on. And the longer they've won and the more that the wins have started to stack upon themselves, the more serious this 1-0 approach has become. They've made T-shirts. It's become kind of a pseudo-marketing campaign for the Colts heading into the playoffs. And guys have really bought into the simplistic, stay-focused, stay-in-the-now approach that Frank Reich has implemented. And he's so fun, he's so smart, and so cool to be around. It's nothing, let's just put it this way, 365 days ago this week, we were talking about who's going to be the next head coach of the Colts after a 4-12 season, having missed the playoffs in three consecutive seasons. Fast forward a year, things are completely different. The atmosphere is completely different around here, and the arrow is certainly pointing up in the right direction.
I guess I was impressed with the physicality of the Colts last week. Here's the Texans that were the best in the NFL at yards per attempt, only giving up 3.4 yards per attempt, third best rush defense
right in
the NFL. And the Colts ran for 200 yards. And I remember listening to Frank Reich yesterday on Colts.com, and you know, he said he wants to score points. You got to score points. But he realizes that when he runs and that running attack works, I mean, that's kind of been the blueprint about how people have been beating the Chiefs by keeping Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, you know, over on the sideline. That time of possession has become kind of a blueprint for teams against the Chiefs. And, you know, I don't know what the mentality of the Colts are. It seems to me they do want to run the ball.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts this season, more so than in seasons past, any other season I can remember in the recent past, the Colts have become very adaptable. They're kind of like the New England Patriots in that sense, where they're going to do what they got to do that week to beat you. They're not going to necessarily be, you know, a passing team or a running team traditionally throughout the course of the season. They're going to do what they got to do that week to beat you. And they have proven they can do it. They can do it in multiple ways. I mean, they've run for 200 yards three times this season. Marlon Mack has four 100-yard rushing games. Andrew Luck has thrown it 50 times when he's needed to. He's thrown for over 400 yards a couple of times, winning, and that's been kind of the blueprint or the necessity that day to win. But you talk about the offensive line. When the Colts have their five starting members up front along that offensive line, and that was the case last week, that's going to be the case on Saturday in Kansas City, that unit has allowed the running game to produce 158 rushing yards per game, over 5 yards per carry. Marlon Mack in those games behind his best starting unit up front along the offensive line was averaging 97 yards per game. Now, without those guys, those numbers dropped to about 87 yards a game at about 3.8 yards per carry. So it's one of the more formidable units up front. Quentin Nelson, Costanzo, Ryan Kelly, another first-round draft pick, Glowinski at right guard, Brady Smith, you talked about, a rookie out of Auburn at right tackle. Those guys have gotten the job done. And the blueprint, like you said, is there to beat the Chiefs. Win the three T's, so to speak. You got time of possession, turnover, and you got to be good on third down, both on offense and defense. And if the Colts do well in those three categories, in my opinion, they should have a good chance to win this game.
Yeah, Colts and Chiefs, number 1 and 2 in third down efficiency. Frank Reich also on Colts.com, I was watching that press conference yesterday, and he called Mahomes a generational talent. He said he doesn't throw that term around, you know, very often. Like, he doesn't use that very often. And we've heard people in the NFL, and I've heard the talking heads talk about it. That's one thing. But to get respect, I guess, from former players and coaches.
Right.
But just kind of your thoughts on Pat Mahomes and what the Chiefs have. Obviously, Frank Reich's been impressed. I didn't know it wasn't. I mean, he's not going to say anything bad. It's not coach speak. But he said he didn't use that term very often. So it does mean that he, you know, thinks highly of Pat Mahomes.
Right, and like I said, having been around Frank, he's never, I mean, everything he says is genuine, so he obviously, you know, believes that very wholeheartedly, and coming from a former NFL quarterback, you have to take that with a high degree of praise. I mean, you guys watch Patrick Mahomes on a weekly basis. I've kind of seen the highlights from afar, and I kind of pay attention when I can, but just watching him, I mean, it's astonishing how good he is this early in his career. And I kind of liken him, when I see him, just some highlights and a little bit of game tape that I've been able to watch, I kind of liken him to a mixture of Aaron Rodgers in his ability to keep the play alive. He kind of slides him out of the pocket. He's able to extend plays. He has good pocket awareness. Obviously, the arm strength is there. That's just like Aaron Rodgers. But he's also like a baseball shortstop. He's like Derek Jeter because he has all these different arm angles and no-look throws, and he can throw it sidearm. He can throw it cockeyed. I mean, he can just put it wherever he wants, and he's got great touch, great feel. And obviously, that comes with his baseball background with his dad and growing up playing the game. This guy is unbelievable in what he's able to do so quickly in his career. I mean, the touchdown passes, the passer rating, 5,000 yards, just like Peyton Manning did back in the day with the Colts. This guy's got staying power, and it's fun because this could be, you know, this matchup coming up on Saturday could be a sign of things to come with two great teams, two great front offices, and two great quarterbacks. I mean, you look at the rest of the AFC, and Roethlisberger's getting old. Brady's got a couple years left. Phillip Rivers is on his way out. I mean, this could be a showdown for years to come. It could be a great rivalry that's budding between the Colts and the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Looking forward to it. Matt Taylor, voice of the Indianapolis Colts, I can't thank you enough for joining me. And enjoy. I can't wait till 3:35 Central Saturday afternoon. If you need recommendations, there's only one thing to go to, local. Evan Bain, Braden Smith. It's not going to be the chains or what you might expect, but they probably know where the best places to get barbecue are in the city. I know Evan does. So yeah. I would pick their brains on it because they won't lead you wrong.
No question. Yeah, I'll hit them up and see where they recommend. Looking forward to a good dinner on Friday and a great game on Saturday.
Thanks, Matt.
There you go, Matt.
You got it.
Matt Taylor, the voice of the Indianapolis Colts, as he's probably chowing down on some barbecue right now, but enjoyed that. And Chris Ballard, you know, takes over GM of the Colts. Brett Veach, same year too, 2017. They both take over. And the quote that I was referring to was what Frank Reich said when I brought it up to Matt about the once in a generational arm talent that he possessed. This is what the head coach Frank Reich had to say about Pat Mahomes.
I mean, the arm talent is just crazy. I mean, you know, just, you know, you hear the term. I've heard people use the term generational arm talent. I think that's really true. And I, as a former quarterback, I don't say that about too many people. I don't throw that term out real easily. And I think he's legit generational arm talent.
We'll find out. Legit. This is the money time. It's not during the season against the Rams, the Patriots. No, it's now. It's money time from home. This is why you got Mahomes. It's why you drafted Patrick Mahomes. You got to the playoffs with Alex Smith. He got you right where you're at, home playoff games. He gets y'all there. Mahomes is supposed to get you past this. Now, can he do it with the defense? It's not exactly letting Pat do it. We'll find out. But I do agree that the Chiefs and Colts could be those two teams. And I still think it's the Texans. I still don't think they're going anywhere. I still believe in Deshaun Watson and what he can do. He had a rough game against the Colts. They tricked him a lot. I mean, they tricked him a lot. They tricked him into thinking they were doing man because the Colts lead the NFL in zone defense, and they tricked him and gave him that look of man and ended up going back to zone. Run a lot of cover two, more cover two, Tampa two than anybody in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, by the way, is 14 touchdowns, zero interceptions against zone defense. He eats it for lunch. Pittsburgh Steelers ran the cover two on him, and look what happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers in that game. Yes, they came back and made it a good game because of our defense. But Pat Mahomes threw six touchdowns. By the way, fun night tomorrow night, the 7th Street Casino Red Sunday postgame show immediately following the Chiefs and Colts. And then I'm back tomorrow night, 9 to midnight. And then back Sunday, 10 to noon. So I'm talking Chiefs. I'm talking a lot of Chiefs. But coming up next, we do our weekly segment with Craig Stout, arrowheadpride.com. Usually do it Wednesday, but K-State basketball is on Wednesday. So Craig Stout, kind enough to join me this Friday night. We talk to Craig Stout, arrowheadpride.com, next.
His likes are defense and beer. But in his defense, he's named after a beer. Here's Arrowhead Pride defensive film analyst and beer guru, Craig Stout.
Joining me now this Friday night, he usually joins me on Wednesday night, but K-State basketball interrupted that. Interrupted the Chiefs-Colts talk with my man Craig Stout from arrowheadpride.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Barley Hop. Good Friday evening to you, Craig.
Great Friday evening to you, Bink. I'm just settling in here, getting ready for a great matchup tomorrow.
Well, what is settling in for you? Is it a six pack of your favorite beer? Is it something you made, or what's settling in for Craig Stout?
This week, since Boulevard released a bunch of new beers, I've been settling in with their six packs, the Space Camper and the Irish Ale. So I'm just enjoying theirs. Yeah, pretty good, really, really good. So I'm saving mine for tomorrow, where I could just drink them all day.
I've got a brewery coming in here in a little bit. I've got Border Brewing from the Crossroads. Borders down there Double Shift is right next to Border. Torn Labels down there. There's a bunch of them down there, man. We got like all these districts down there, man. It's just blowing up. But to the thing at hand, instead of beer, because I could talk about beer with you. Someday you're going to have to come on and talk beer with me. We'll just do that as a segment instead of defense. But Chiefs-Colts.
Yeah.
Chiefs-Colts. Anyway, this weather affects this game at all, is you think defensively with the Chiefs, if they're going to lean heavily on Marlon Mack?
I think that there could be a significant effect there. Marlon Mack is a very agile back, and he's a guy that kind of does well behind that. It's a very fantastic offensive line that blows open big holes for him, but he's a guy that isn't necessarily going to stay on his feet through contact. If this weather slows him down at all, even though it's going to slow down both sides, I think that the Chiefs might actually come out on the better end of that, just because Marlon Mack relies so much on his agility and ability to cut quickly. If there's a little bit of slippery footing, Chiefs could see an advantage there.
No, he does, man. You go back to that Texans game. I mean, he was making some sick cuts, and definitely that would change the footing. Are you on board with Andrew Luck not being as good on the road as he is at home? Because I'm on that bandwagon. I'm on that train, because he doubled his interceptions on the road than at home. I think he's better than Drew Brees on the road, because Drew Brees is just not good on the road. He's great at home. But what, he have 300 yards passing all the time this season, except on the road he didn't, and the one time he did was in a dome in Atlanta. But I kind of see Andrew like the same way in NRG Stadium, when exactly playing in the elements.
Right, and I do think that Andrew Luck is playing far better than I think anybody thought he was going to coming off of that injury this year. I think there was a lot of serious concerns that Andrew Luck wasn't ever going to get to be the quarterback that he was prior to that injury. I think as the year's gone along, we've seen that he's evolved into a smarter quarterback, getting the ball out quick, trying to really, you know, set the tempo, run a very quick tempo offense, short pass offense, and then max protect and take a deep shot every once in a while. But he hasn't had that same ability on the road, especially in open-air stadiums. He's just not been the same guy. He's not been as sharp, a little bit more inaccurate. Maybe some of that is communication, you know, traveling and loud fans and everything like that. So we'll just have to see. But I do think that there will be a downgrade from Andrew Luck that we've seen so far this year in Lucas Oil and in NRG Stadium. That was the second time they played there this year. I think that it's going to be a little bit rougher go in Arrowhead.
Talking to Craig Stout, arrowheadpride.com, and just look at some of these numbers. 70.7 completion percentage at home, 64.2 on the road. That's almost a 7-point difference. 7.9 average yards per reception at home, 6.6 on the road. Quarterback rating of 109.7 at home, 88.4 on the road. I mean, we're looking at some 20-point swings there between home and road.
Yeah, and on top of that, major swings and major differences in interceptions as well. He's turned the ball over at a significant clip on the road as well. Twice as much. That can't happen with this Chiefs offense looming on the other side of the field. That Colts defense is not good enough to really put the clamps on the Chiefs offense. The Chiefs offense is going to score if the Chiefs defense can come up with a fumble, maybe in some slippery weather, or an interception or two of Andrew Luck. All of a sudden, this game could get out of hand in a hurry.
How big is it with Eric Berry, you know, and his status now? I mean, weren't you kind of hoping, like, the plan was to have him ready for these postseason games? He had that bye week and then get ready this week. And, I mean, it just doesn't sound like it. I mean, who knows? I mean, Andy Reid was very noncommittal whether he's going to play or not.
Yeah, I really was kind of thinking that when he was sat out of the Oakland game with the extra week and the bye week, that it was just kind of okay, we know what we've got from you. Let's save you for the playoffs. Those are the important games anyway. We can beat the Raiders without you. You know, that whole sort of scenario. But the fact that he went through a walkthrough earlier this week and then wasn't able to practice in the 2 days that they kind of really did practice, that's a little worrisome to me. They've still got him listed as questionable. So I think that if it really was a concern, like they really thought that he legitimately wasn't going to play, we'd see that doubtful moniker on him. But since it's questionable, I think it could be a situation where they've just sat him this week and they're planning on playing him. No point in putting extra reps on that heel. Now, if he doesn't come out and play this week, then I don't know what you're going to do with him. This is a situation, it's a really sad situation to where if he can't go, then it might just be time for him to maybe hang it up, maybe, you know, reevaluate what he's going to be doing here in the future, get that surgery, see where he's going to be. But, yeah, they really have given him enough time to hopefully recuperate. Let's hope that he's on the field tomorrow.
It sounds like injury settlement to me is what it sounds like. As they're going right. In the future. Now, here's the thing. Who do you expect on this defense to step up? Because obviously Chris Jones has been a concern of theirs. Listening to what the Colts are saying and everything, and they know and have to respect him in drawing double teams. Who benefits the most if Chris Jones draws that double team? We're talking about a great offensive line with the Colts. They did a great job in the draft that you'd appreciate with Quentin Nelson. You know, the sixth overall pick in the second round, Braden Smith. I mean, that's two stalwarts on that line, first and second round picks. Now, if they do give Chris Jones extra attention, who would you expect to thrive in the game, Dee Ford or Justin Houston?
I think that both of them have an opportunity to thrive in this game, but it's going to depend on what the Colts' strategy is against the Texans with Clowney and Watt lining up on the edges. They lined up a blocking tight end and brought in a sixth offensive lineman to kind of put on the edges there and give help to Smith and Anthony Costanzo on the left side there to try and make sure that they didn't get beat around the edges. Now, where the Colts have allowed some pressure this year when they've had this whole starting offensive line that the Chiefs will see tomorrow, they've allowed zero sacks, but they have allowed some pressure off the edge, typically against speed rushers and typically against guys that can kind of bend and corner a little bit better. That is Dee Ford. So if Dee Ford is able to get these matchups without being chipped by a tight end, extra offensive lineman, or by the running back, then the Chiefs could get pressure that way. Now, where they might find the most success is the fact that the Colts have to leave so many people in to pass protect, and that'll just help out the secondary because there's less routes that they have to diagnose.
Yeah, I'm not sure they can go with their game plan, you know. Frank Reich was talking about, you know, scoring points still and everything, but he did acknowledge, you know, that running game. And, you know, my biggest fear is that they build up a lead and they salt it away with running the ball. But, again, if Marlon Mack doesn't have the footing, things could be a little more difficult in that run game. And keep in mind, guys like Braden Smith are much better run blockers than pass blockers. I mean, that was kind of his knock at the combine, although he's gotten a lot better at pass protection as well. But are you buying into what the Chiefs did against the Raiders, giving up 3 points? Are you buying the fact that the Raiders didn't want to slip from fourth to ninth in the draft?
I think it's a little bit of both. I'm not sure that the Raiders came out with a real desire to go out and win that game. I think that John Gruden would have liked to take one off of Andy Reid because I do think that he wants to establish that he is the right decision for that Raiders organization. He had a bad first year. He wants to establish that the moves that he's making, the culture he's instilling, is the right one. So I do think that there was an effort level that he wanted to put on the field, but I don't know if it was matched by the players or not. Now, the Chiefs changed some things up front. They were able to kind of help the run game out a little bit. They were able to keep the short passing game in front of them, which they'll need to do this week against Andrew Luck as well. But I do think that it was somewhat of a Chiefs performance and then somewhat of maybe a lack of effort on the Raiders' part.
You've seen some of these names lining up as defensive coordinators around the league. Does it make you a little jealous at times, thinking, man, I really would have liked to have a Todd Bowles here in Kansas City next year?
Bowles would have been fun. He plays a hybrid defense. I would have really enjoyed charting him and seeing the types of ways that he approached different games. There's a few guys that are still out there. There's some college names maybe even that could rise up if the Chiefs did decide to move on from Bob Sutton, or if Bob Sutton decided to move on from the NFL. We'll just have to kind of see how that all shakes out at the end of the year. But, yeah, there's a little bit of small bit of jealousy just from a fan charting standpoint. Would have been nice to have some more exciting, you know, elements to the defense this year.
All right, man, putting you on the spot. What happens in this game and why?
I think that the Chiefs defense, if the weather is all fine and dandy, it kind of sounds like maybe the snow is going to go away before the game starts. They'll get that field prepped. I think that maybe there will be enough footing to where the Colts will come out and try to run and try and play their short passing game. I think that the Chiefs can come up with an early stop on defense, just one, and I think that's what they need for the Chiefs offense to jump out to a 14-point lead, and then the Colts are going to have to abandon the run game and start throwing the ball. If they have to start throwing the ball, then all of a sudden that plays more into the Chiefs' strengths. I think it can get out of hand. I still think the Colts are going to score a bunch of points, but I think they'll come later on in the game. I do think that this will be a comfortable victory for the Chiefs. 41-31 is what I'm predicting, but a lot of those points happen to be in.
I like that. I like that the boogeyman's gone, right? The curse is gone.
Boogeyman's gone. We're done with it.
We've got to win a postseason game, man.
Yeah, they're going to win, and then God help the next team that has to come into Arrowhead and play after that.
Craig, enjoy your Friday night. Enjoy your beverages, and let's get ready for this game, man. I don't even know if I'm going to sleep tonight. I've been thinking about this game so much. Finally here. I'm glad we're first game.
Yes, I'm glad we're first game, too. Let's go out and start it off right.
There we go. Thanks, Craig.
Thank you.
Craig Stout, ArrowheadPride.com. Follow him at Barley Hop, one of the best in the business when it comes to breaking down Chiefs film work. Deion Sanders was asked to pick who he thinks is going to win. You might be surprised. We'll tell you that next. Welcome back for just a brief time. The brief time. Very brief, actually. He's ran a little long. We're going to talk to Mike Wells. He's like the Adam Teicher version of the Indianapolis Colts coming up next. But Deion Sanders, he had picked the Colts. Thought they were going to win. Good old Deion made his decision. A little bit surprised on that because I thought that he was kind of a Mahomes and Chiefs guy, but Deion Sanders, NFL Network, was asked, what road team has the best chance of a win this weekend?
Just let you spit that rhetoric. I'm going with the Colts. Did you see the Indianapolis Colts last week in Houston? Matter of fact, I don't even know if Houston showed up. I don't even know if Houston realized that it was a home game. I was so mad at myself that I forgot and I didn't look at the stats of T.Y. Hilton versus the Houston Texans, or I would even mention the Texans all week. I was mad at myself. But what I saw in this game, I saw Andrew Luck. That Andrew Luck that deserving to be the first pick. That Andrew Luck that has no luck in his name. He's a bona fide baller. Then I looked on the defensive side of the ball and said, you got to be kidding me. These guys are passing that zone off and just playing real physical, hard-nosed, tough football like they used to once upon a time. I like these guys, man. If anybody could go and force an upset, it's going to be the Colts.
You think they're going to go to Kansas City and beat the MVP of the league, Patrick Mahomes?
I ain't say all that. I say they have the possibility.
Oh, okay.
Now you said
to beat these guys. This is the best, the most poised team to do so. If it happens, they're the ones that will do it.
Deion Sanders, 21st and prime, picked the Colts to be the team. It's the flavor of the week. Jay Binkley, producer Julio Sanchez on a snowy evening. By the way, shout out, and I'm sure Julio would echo these sentiments. Shout out MoDOT, KDOT, Salt Trucks. We've got a texter. My guy, Johnny Cueto Tattoo Guy. He's got the Johnny Cueto tattoo. He's out on the truck right now, driving and listening to 610 Sports Radio.
He's got Cueto power.
These guys are great, man. They're out there salting these roads for you. They're working on their Friday nights so we can all drive home, so we can get to the bar, so we can get home from the bar. I'm going to get a little crazy here. But shout out KDOT. Shout out MoDOT. Shout out all the policemen on the street trying to keep all these accidents, people doing stupid things. We salute you. Coming up next, Mike Wells. He's the reporter for ESPN for the Indianapolis Colts. As we continue to break this thing down from the Colts side of the looking at how they're looking at this game, as we talk to Mike Wells next.
They're the hottest.